Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Kings, the 7th
chapter.
2 Kings, chapter 7, page 429 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading the first 10 verses. We'll read the verses responsively. 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. They said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say, We will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of the chariots, and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, and their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there. Neither voice of man, but horses tied, and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And let's pray. And Father, meet with us in such a special way. Thank you for the heartwarming things we've already experienced. And thank you for your care and blessing upon this church. Bless, we pray, the preaching, the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, our cup is not big enough to take all we've received this morning, nor do we comprehend enough to comprehend the greatness of our God today. We are rejoiced because of the tenacity of Ken Smith. We are rejoiced because of the perseverance of Roy Moffitt. We have rejoiced because of the sacrifice and dedication of Jeff and Joy. But each of us has his own life to live. And each of us has his own battles to fight. Each of us has his own problems to solve. Each of us has his own burdens to bear. I pray this morning, in the next few minutes, that this preacher will be used of the Holy Spirit to be exactly what his people need. Make it so. Amen. The mighty Syrian army had seized the land of Samaria. A famine had followed. It was so bad that 2 ladies agreed to boil their sons and eat them. One lady said, "We'll boil my son and eat him first." and then we'll boil your son. Can you imagine that? And eat him. They boiled the first son, and then the second lady, after having shared in the eating of the other son, she refused to have her son boiled, and a strife arose. It was such a horrible famine, and I hate to even mention this in a mixed crowd, but it's in the Bible, that the head of a donkey sold for food for $20, approximately. Now, a donkey was an unclean animal, and the head was the least desirable part for food. But the head of the donkey sold for approximately $20. That isn't as bad as this. 1/2 gallon of dove's dung. I'm talking about human excretion or animal excretion. Was sold for $1 for food. There are several times in history where we read that human elimination was used for food because of horrible famines. But the dung of a dove was sold at $1 per 1/2 gallon. At the gate of the city were 4 lepers. They were at the gate of the city because they're not allowed to go inside the city. A leper, being unclean, was required to stay outside the gates. These 4 lepers, standing at the gate of the city, began to talk to each other and reason. And one of them said, and the other, all of them agreed to it, "We have 3 choices. We can either go back into the city, we can sit here where we are now, outside the city, or we could go out and give ourselves up to the Syrians, the awful enemy that's conquered the land." And they reasoned. Are you listening? They reasoned. And they reasoned like this. If we go back into the city, we die. The famine is there. If we sit here where we are, we die. If we go forward, out where the Syrians are, we'll probably die. And they said, a probably is better than a sure thing. In other words, if we go back into the city, we die with a famine. If we sit here, we die likewise. If we go forward, out yonder to the enemy, there is a little tiny chance that they will have mercy on us. And so they went forward. Ah, but there's a God in heaven. And God said to the angelic host, he said to the horses in heaven, he said, "I want you to prance a little bit and snort." And he said, I'm going to hook a chariot onto you, and I want you to go round and round in circles so the chariot will make a lot of noise. Then he said to the angelic host in heaven, "I want you to walk around so the folk live downstairs can hear you walking on their ceiling." And when the Syrian armies heard the noises of horses, and chariots, and soldiers, they got scared to death. And they took off. And they left the camp as it was. They left the food. They left their clothing, extra clothing. They left their gold, their silver, and their possessions. When these 4 lepers got there, you talk about fun. They had as much fun as Keith McKinney would have in a pizza shop. I mean, they got there, and there it was. These folks had been were in a famine, and they saw all the food they could eat, and they saw gold, and they saw silver, and they ate until their little stomachs became big stomachs, and their hearts content. Now tonight I'm going to talk to you on the same scripture. I'm going to talk to you about what they did with the spoil that they found. But here's what I want to get over this morning. That is this. Going forward was the best gamble. You may as well keep going on. You just may as well keep going on. I mean, going backward, that's death. The past is dead. And to go backward is to go where death is. Jesus didn't say, tell him that I was has sent you. He said, tell him that I am has sent you. And so to go backward is to die because the past is dead. And this morning, no, shall I turn back into the world? No, no, not I, not I. Shall I turn back into the world? No, no, not I. No, that's death back there. And they said, it's death to go back. It's also death to stand still. You know, the best way in the world to get killed in a football game, just stand there. You just get down on the line and when the ball is hiked, you just start looking around. You won't ever look again. Now, they said, it's death to go back. It's death to stand still. We may as well risk it and go forward. That's my message to you this morning. You just may as well risk it and go forward. Nobody ever won by going back. Nobody ever won by standing still. Just risk it and keep going. That's the story of my life, by the way. I remember years ago, I was pastor of the Miller Road Baptist Church down in Garland, Texas. We were going to build an auditorium. We had a little auditorium seating about 200-300 people. We were going to build one that seated about 1,000, 1,100 people. So we were going to have groundbreaking at the auditorium. We had gotten our loan already from a big insurance company. I won't give the name of it. You'll know why in a minute. The president of that big insurance company was an important Southern Baptist official. He was the head of a board, big board in the Southern Baptist Convention. They had already agreed. They'd agreed to give us a loan. Well, Lester Roloff came on the broadcast and ruined the whole thing. He's ruined more things than most anybody has. He came on this broadcast one day, and his broadcast was on with the Southern Baptists of Texas, Texas Baptist Convention. The Texas Baptist Convention had owned a building in Corpus Christi, where Brother Roloff lived. They owned the building, and the building was, part of it was leased out to a liquor store. And Brother Roloff found out about it, and he proceeded to express his feeling about it on his broadcast. On the station owned by the same people that owned the liquor store. Anybody ought to have enough sense to get another station before you do that. So Brother Roloff was put off the air. Well, I found out about it, and I said, I'm going to complain. I took me a gang of folks, went down to the fella, put him off the air, walked in his office. Was I ever surprised? The same fellow had promised to loan us the money to build our auditorium. He said, what do you want? I said, just want to see how you do it. But, make a long story short, and it was short, I expressed my opinion about Baptist people owning a building and leasing it to a liquor store. I expressed my opinion about being for Lester Roloff. And the next day I got a letter. Our loan fell through. But the next Sunday was groundbreaking for the building. Now, people didn't know about the loan falling through, but I did. We broke ground. Everybody's rejoicing, praising God, cheering. They won't forget it because we did it an unusual way. We broke ground with a plow, like you break ground, you know, to plow, and broke ground the plow. And I was the guy at the plow, and the deacons, of course, were the mules. And the deacons had on overalls, bib overalls. And they were all shouting and praising God because we're going to build a building. And I was the only one there that knew we weren't going to build a building. Went ahead. I mean, what am I going to do? Go back to the people and say we lost our loan. We're going to die. I mean, and sit here and say we won't break ground now. We'll die. What we do? Well, the best gamble is to go forward. We went ahead and broke ground. Went ahead and started building the next day. How'd you pay the bills? I don't know yet. Not sure they're all paid. But I'm saying that's been the story of my life. I mean, And no use in going backwards. No use in sitting down where you are. I mean, the best gamble is just to go forward. And the best chance. And you may as well just keep going on. I was out in Southern California, preaching in Pomona, California, staying in a Howard Johnson's Motor Lodge. One night I couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep at all. Got up finally after, by the way, when I can't sleep, if I lay there an hour and can't sleep, I get up, spend the night. I work. I go to work. I will not lay there and, listen, I'm not going to count more than 100 sheep. I went past 100, fool you on, let them all out. And just open the gate. I'm not going to do it. I get up and go to work. Other night I was in Beckley, West Virginia. Tuesday night I couldn't sleep. Had to get up 4:15 to come home. And I tried about 30 minutes. I don't know why I couldn't sleep. But I got up, worked all night. Anyway, I got up, started walking on the freeway. And in the wee hours of the morning out in Pomona, California, on a freeway out there, walking up down a freeway, God spoke to me, not audibly like he does Oral Roberts. But I'm not about to do what he's doing. He said, if God has told me, if I don't raise so much money, I'm going to go on to heaven. We got folks here take money out of the collection plate. I'm not about to do it. No way. You folks are not laughing. Go on home. Get out of here. I'm tired of looking at you. But anyway, God told me to start a college, and he didn't speak audibly, but I knew I was supposed to start a college. I knew it. Had been three times in my life that I knew God was impressing me to the extent that I knew it that night. I came back home, called me to the deacons. Mel Graves said, I told him the deacons, I said that God would start a college. Mel Graves said, are you sure? Would you? I think he said, would you risk your salvation on it? And I said, yes, I would. He said, I'm making a motion to start a college. Are you listening? Within 3 minutes, the deacons voted to start a college. Boy, I was happy. I got in the car driving home, starting a college. I mean, I am going to be a college president. As it worked out, I lost that title. But I heard a noise in the front seat, looked over at somebody sitting beside me. I don't know his name, but he had a red suit on and had a forked tail. Had horns and smelled like smoke. He said, you started college, did you? Amen. Glory to God. Woo! How many students you got? Students? Yeah. How many students you got? None. Starting to college, huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many faculty members you got? Faculty. Yeah. Well, they equal students. Zero. Starting to college, are you? Yeah, amen. How much money you got? Same amount as I got students and faculty. Starting to college, are you? Whoopee. Buildings? We haven't got any buildings either. Starting a college, are you?
Yeah.
I pulled over side of the road. Out there on 165th and Columbia, with that big water tower out there. I pulled over side of the road. I got out of the car, walked around to the other side, opened the door, and I said, out. Out! Get out! I mean, got back in the car and I said to myself, can't go back. They kill me if I go back. I can't sit here. They run over me. I may as well go forward. This morning, go out there at that 100-acre campus and see what's out there. Do you realize, you folks that are new here, do you understand that we moved in Hiles Anderson College? We moved in promising to pay $2.5 million in 18 months. Every time I think about that, I don't know why we did it. I mean, found a college for sale. We moved in. I mean, we moved in the college. Promised to pay $2.5 million. We didn't have $2,500. He said, what do you say? I'm saying, I don't care who you are. The best thing to do is just go and keep on going forward. That's it. That's it. I mean, ask Roy Moffitt about that. Gonna go back and become an invalid? I'd die. Gonna sit here and feel sorry for myself? I'd die. I guess I may as well just keep going on. Ask Ken Smith about that. In a wheelchair as a child? Gonna go back home, sit there and be an invalid? I'll die. You gonna just sit here where you are now and not do anything and not amount to anything? I'd die. May as well just keep going on. No, this doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't help you. I mean the fact that we went to a college without any money and just went on, that doesn't do anything for you personally. And the fact that I went on and dedicated and broke ground for the building doesn't do a thing for you. So let's just put it down where you live. Illustration. You're a lady who's a senior citizen. Life has passed you by now, most of it. All your children are grown. They have their own families. Christmas time comes. They want to have Christmas with their own families now. Most of your life is gone. Now you got some choices. You can just go back and rot. Or you can sit there and die. Or you can, I'm just going to keep going forward. You folks up in years, I mean 60 and over. You folks that I know what I'm talking about. I mean, our kids are all gone. They got kids of their own. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that you folks up yonder, though, even older than I am, if there's anybody here that's lived that long, I'm talking about you. Join the Best Years Club. Take off on a trip with them. You say, the house, I've got arthritis. You'll still have it on the trip. Take off. We've got to limp, then limp forward. It doesn't hurt one bit more to limp forward than to limp backward. Not one bit more. I'm saying, you people that are up in years and you live by yourself maybe, and you know what to do with your life, well, you may as well just take the gamble. I mean, these fellows said, we can go backwards and die. We can sit here and die. It's a gamble. They said, let's take the risk. We may as well go on. And that's what I'm saying. You older people, go on. Don't sit there and look out the window. Don't sit there and watch the box. Get up and go on. It's the best thing to do. You say, Brother Hounds, I've told this story in years. You old timers have heard me tell it on the first and third Sunday of every month. My little mama got up in years. She was an invalid. She gave up. My sister and I talked to her one day, and she said, if there's nothing to live for, nothing to live for at all. And I said to my mama, on Christmas Day, gave her for a Christmas present a little envelope. She opened it up. She said, what is it? Sitting in the wheelchair. What is it? And I said, it's a round trip ticket to Dallas for a vacation. And there's a reservation for 1 week in the Holiday Inn. She said, oh, I've taken my last trip. I said, no, you haven't. No, you going tomorrow. It's Christmas Eve and it's happened. I said, you going tomorrow. Oh, no, I can go. I said, you're going. You're going. She said, I just can't move. I said, that's why I'm on. Where are you going? Because you can't fight back. You're going to Dallas tomorrow. The reservation's already made. She said, huh, son, I'd die if I took a trip to Dallas. I said, Mama, got your cemetery lot already bought down there. It'd be a lot better to go down there alive to get buried than be shipped in a box. You might suffocate. I said, now get up. She got up. I said, get ready. She got ready. She made 16 more trips to Dallas, Texas on vacations, and I had to finance every one of them. My sister horned in, and she went with her and had to finance hers, too. And my little mama, who gave up at 80, she's still living at 95. And at 96, she's still living
and she went to heaven at 96. Why? I'll tell you why. Because she said, I'll die if I go back. I'll die if I sit here. I just may as well risk it and keep going. Illustration. You're a lady who reared your children alone. Maybe your husband left you. Numbers of ladies like that here in the room. Now your children are grown. The ladies set them off this week. One of the finest ladies in this church. With a smile on her face and tears in her eyes, she said, I live for my boy. I reared him by myself. She's got an affliction. Reared him by myself. Worked in Chicago. Every day, go to Chicago to work. She said, I live for my boy. My boy's grown now. She said, Brother House, she said, I just need you to help me to know what to do now. And then she said, I also have the disease of lupus. Alone. What's she supposed to do? Join something. Start. Did you hear about that little lady, older lady, who didn't have anything to do, so she started making pies? And last year, she made 500 pies. I know, I ate 300 of them myself. She made 500 pies last year just to give to people. 500! Why don't you say with these... Listen, these lepers were outcast. I'll say a few words about that tonight. But these lepers were outcast. These were lepers... These are men outside the city. They couldn't go back in without being killed. And it's against the law, but they said, if you go back in, we'll die. If we sit here, we haven't got anything to eat. Let's just chance it, maybe. The Syrians will have mercy. Let's just go forward and go on out there. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you go forward, God causes heaven's armies to work with you. When you go forward. May as well just keep going on. Illustration. Somebody here this morning, everything's falling apart. What shall I do? Think I'll go back? You'll die. Think I'll just stay here? You'll die. Go forward. You say, I can't see how I can make it. Neither could these lepers. But they said it's the best shot they got. We know we can't go back. We know we'll die. We know we can't sit here. We know we'll die. We think we go forward, we'll die. But one thinks better than two knows when it comes to death. And they went forward. Sat one night all night long with my little sister. She was 45 years of age, and her whole life had fallen apart. And all night, one night, we sat beneath the Texas stars, and I said, Sis, go forward. I said, make something out of yourself. Go to college. And she went back to college at the age of 45. Bless God, she made something out of herself. Why? She sits here, she dies. She goes backward, she dies. She goes forward, who knows? Well, who knows better than dying? Tell her, well, of course, this little Ruth Balchunas. No legs. It was a car accident. Both legs amputated. One of our bus kids here at First Baptist graduated from Howells Anderson College a few months ago. Now this next week, she's probably gone already. She's going to Ohio where she's going to be a Christian school teacher in a Christian school. No legs. The lady sits right down here this morning on the front has found out she had multiple sclerosis. College student. Young lady, I'm saying she must be near 30 or so. She said, I'm going to go on. I'm going to finish college. Why? She goes back, she dies. She said, still, she'll die. But she goes forward. She may or may not die. But a may or may not is better than a sure thing. She goes forward. Illustration. Howells Anderson College young lady came to me the night of graduation last year. She met me in the hallway and said, can I talk to you just less than a minute? And I said, you sure may. We got over in a spot where she could talk and not be heard. She held that degree up and she said, see that degree? She said, took me 4 years to get that. She said, not one single time when the payment came for my education did I have a payment. But she said, you told us. You stay there till Dr. Evans puts you out in the street. Dr. Evans is a terrible putter out in the street. And she said, I'm going to stay till they make me go home. And she said, Brother Hiles,
for 4 years, and she held that poem up. She said, for 4 years, I've wanted that thing more than I wanted anything in the world. And she said, every month it came time, I didn't know if I could go back to class or not. But she said, thank God, I kept on going to class. And she said, I just walked into class and see if they'd throw me out. And she said, I kept going forward. And she said, there hasn't been a month in 4 years. But God hasn't supplied the tuition for my education. You go backward, you die. You sit still, you die. You may as well keep going on. By the way, when they went on, they found food because God had prepared the way. And God is a wonderful way preparer. Found God had prepared the way. They found the food, and after a while they ate all they could, and they got all the money they could put in their sacks. And one of them said, we're not doing good here. He said, we ought to share this. And they came back and told the other people what they'd found. And the other people came and got food to eat and money with which to buy food. You always find something that helps others when you go forward. If you want to help somebody, there's no help in the rear for anybody. You won't find anything behind you that'll help anybody. If you want to help somebody, there's nothing beside you. But there's a heap of stuff in front of you. You may as well just keep going on. Suppose John Rice had not gone on. He couldn't have helped the whole world with the sword of the Lord in his great revival meetings. Suppose Dr. Bill Rice, when he heard his baby girl was deaf, would never hear a whippoorwill, would never hear a mockingbird, would never hear the chirp of a sparrow, would never hear the lowing of an oxen, would never hear the choir sing, would never hear an I love you. Suppose he'd have gone back and said, "Pooey, I'm trying to serve God, and God deafened my daughter's ears. I'll go back." No, he couldn't have helped anybody. "Well, I'll just sit here. I won't go any farther." "No, you die there." He said, "I'll keep on going home as well." I wonder how many people have been helped at the Bill Rice Ranch and how many thousands of deaf people have been saved because Dr. Bill said, "I may as well just keep going on." Suppose Dr. Lee Robertson, when his little baby girl died, Joy. Suppose when Dr. Robertson and Mrs. Robertson lost the little baby girl. Suppose they had turned back. He wouldn't have had a Tennessee Temple College. He wouldn't have had thousands of missionaries on the fields and thousands of preachers across the land influenced by that giant for God. Why? Main difference in you and Lee Robertson is when Lee Robertson got to where you quit, he kept going. That's the main difference. That's the main difference. I thought about this yesterday. Think about it as I say it. There's no telling what the world has missed by those who turn back. Think what the world has received by those who kept going. Think what the world could have received by those who turned back if they had kept going. For every one Lee Robertson that kept going at that time in his life, there have been a dozen that turned back. Think what the world could have had with a dozen Lee Robertsons. We don't know what we miss, so we don't miss it. But think of what the world could have had if everybody that had a deaf daughter had gone forward like Dr. Bill Rice and Kathy. Ladies and gentlemen, life is tough. My heart has been broken this week, again and again and again. This morning, as I looked around this audience and saw people whose lot and the plight in life I know well, I've had a hard time all during the song service not to cry all the way through it. I don't know what's out there. It may be the Syrian army's out there ready to kill you. I don't know. Know one thing. Your best chance is to keep going. And going forward is your best gamble. Father, bless, I pray, simple and yet profound truth of these last 28 minutes.